throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Hoops, 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 and more hoops. We're going to talk a little college basketball at the end of the show. Oklahoma could not hold off Kansas on Saturday inside the LNC. Also, Oklahoma State with a big win over BYU, probably their best win for sure in the conference schedule. They played really well. Question, if you had to pick the Final Four right now, obviously you don't know what the brackets are going to be or what have you, but if you had to pick a Final Four right now, who would be in it? And is there a team that you think could come off the pace a little bit, pick it up down the end of the season, and figure out a way to make some hay in March? Okay? So let's say a team outside the top 15. I think there's a whole bunch of those. Just a matter of which one you like the best.
Yeah.
So we could talk about that. We'll look forward to what's coming up this week in high school basketball. When we'll recap the weekend that was in 2A through 4A district tournaments. The regional tournaments are over for A and B. We're on to the area around. Cannot believe it. Think of this. 1 week from today, we will be in here talking about who's made it to the big house.
Yeah.
I'll get with Candace today. I promise I'll do this. I thought about it Thursday, and then she wasn't here in the afternoon. And we will get everybody's picks loaded onto somewhere, and we'll tell you where.
See where we're at, yeah.
And that way everybody can see where they're at on the Tucker Family Beef 8 for state. I doubt there hasn't been just mega upsets. As far as knocking teams out, there's been some teams that have lost.
But not out.
Not out.
Right.
Most notably, I think there's one team in Class B boys that everybody had in the state tournament. So that's even if they don't make it, I guess it's not going to be just a huge blow. But I think everybody had Fort Cobb-Roxton in the state tournament. Mm-hmm. And Granite beat them for the regional title. So We'll get those loaded. That way everybody can see, and we'll tell you where to look at the Tucker Family Beef 8 for state picks, as now that we're in the area around, you can start to look and kind of see, ooh, who do I need to win? Who do I need to lose to maybe gain the upper hand headed into the state tournament? By the way, bunch of people traveling, obviously, to these games, to and from. You know what's one heck of a snack to or from the game? A Tucker Family Beef stick.
That's right.
Jalapeno and cheese or the regular. Either one or both. If I was you, I'd have both. Just a really nice snack. Like, say you need a little holdover going to the game, and then you're going to eat after the game. You know? Or if you eat before the game, coming home, you're thinking, man, I really don't want to have a second supper. How about a Tucker Family Beef stick instead? You can pick those up.
I mean, even just watching those games wear you out, and then when you leave and you're like, oh, man, I'm starving.
Or you can just take them in. I wouldn't recommend this. It may be illegal in some spots, but if you happen to take them into your purse or, you know, in your pocket, you can have a beef stick during the game. It's better than that. Or if you're just hanging out on the couch watching Paragon TV or Big Elk TV, mowing down a beef stick there. All great options for Tucker Family Beef. All right, Jared. A and B regional tournaments are over. There were some really good games on Saturday. I was able to watch a couple of them in the afternoon. Your game with the Trojanettes and the Lady Indians of Arapahoe. And then Eric and Hammond. That boys game was very, very close throughout the afternoon. And so we'll start there. Arapahoe Butler's been a team that's kind of been up and down. They really kind of caught their stride here toward the end of the season. And played Canute to the point where both teams probably left that gym thinking, man, we both could have won that one or we both could have lost it.
Yeah. I'm always a big believer of when it's you play a team for the third time, and it's tough to beat them three times in a year. That's what I'm saying. And that's what Canoe did. They beat Arapahoe Butler twice in the regular season, once obviously in the regular season, and once over in Weatherford at the district championship game. And it wasn't even close. So this one, the third time, and usually that team that's lost twice, you kind of see it where they figure some things out. And they did. They played a lot better than what they did the last time Canute played them. They got key shots from players that you didn't expect, like Peyton Lambeth, the freshman, came off the bench with 9 points. Paisley Egan, just when he felt like Canute was they put him on the ropes, and then here came Arapahoe with a key shot. Paisley Egan had one of those in the fourth quarter, a three-pointer. She had 12. But Canute able to withstand it all, and the term I keep using is survive in advance, and you hear that term a lot in March Madness, just win and survive in advance. And Trojanettes held on for this one. It felt a lot like the game Thursday night against Waukomas. And this time Canute able to win it. They could have iced it with a couple of free throws from with like 7 seconds left. Missed both of them, and was able to get back and win it on defense and win it 44-43. Standing now for Canute, Emily Cantwell had 14. Destiny Jackson had 12, but she had like 5 steals, which were big. Kendall Schuster had 10 points. She was kind of limited because of foul troubles. Only had 4 in the first quarter and then had to sit for the rest of the half. And that was the key, I think, for Arapahoe, was they were not going to let Kendall beat them. They were guarding her to the point where the whistle had to be blown. I mean, they're grabbing her and doing everything they could to not allow her to receive the ball. But other players stepped up. And you knew that Dusty Jackson was going to play well, and she did. So survive in advance, and that's what they do. And they move on. Now they get a tough Cheyenne team. I call them a tough – I mean, I think they're a tough team. I know how they lost pretty bad to Surreal. Surreal's really good. Someone told this to me. I can't remember who it was. They texted to me. They must have been watching them. They said they feel like Surreal is better this year than they were last year, because it's not about one player. It's about a complete team. And I think we knew that going in, that they were pretty much the overall favorite in this area. So Cheyenne and Canute should be a fun one on Thursday afternoon.
What about the boys in Cheyenne?
Boys, and they played – sorry, I went out of order. I went back to Friday. They took on Rock Creek, and coaches will agree with me. That was an ugly game. It was very, very low scoring. It was 13-13 at half. There were countless amounts of offensive fouls on both sides, and nobody could hit their shot, especially from outside. And the first person to hit a Cook three-pointer was none other than Luke Spitz, of all people. He hit it there in the third quarter, and I point that out because that – And by the way, all of his shots, I mean, he only had 7 points. Oddly enough, he was 0-for-4 from the free throw line. He's a really good free throw shooter, second best on the team, but just didn't have it on Saturday. But all of his shots that he made were from away from the bucket, around the free throw line, or that one three-pointer. It was actually kind of nice to see from a center. But when he put that three-pointer in, it's like, and I said this on air, you know, sometimes you're in a shooting slump and that lid's on the bucket and you just need to see it fall through the hoop for yourself. I think by the whole team seeing Luke put it in, they all kind of, okay, that's what it looks like. Jake Butler hit a big three at the end of the third quarter, and it was big because they started the fourth quarter with the ball, turned around, ran the same dang play, hits another three, back-to-back three-pointers, and then Canute pulled away, outscored him 18-9 in the fourth quarter and won it 43-32. But it was an ugly game, that first half. I think nerves are a big part of it, and I have to keep telling myself that too, and the girls too. Is when you're coming through this backdoor way of doing it, it's win or go home. So there's a lot of tightness there, a lot of nerves, forcing shots, a lost shot, a lot of air balls go over the rim or the back of the heel, you know. So, but once they calmed down, they got their shots to go in. So Canute advances, And they will get Southwest Covenant, who had Sentinel on the ropes on Saturday night. That's going to be a big test for Canute. Southwest Covenant is 18th in the final rankings. Canute 16th. I think we're going to get a really evenly matched game, that one on Thursday over in Chickasha at 3:30, so after the girls play. So survive in advance. That's the name of the game, and a lot of our teams did that this weekend.
Yeah, it looks better today as far as the amount of teams than it did on Friday morning.
Yeah.
You know, Thursday seemed like a day that could have been pretty disastrous with the hopes, especially the Paragon schools, of getting into the state tournament. But a bunch of teams did really, really well. As you said, both Canute teams, and unfortunate maybe for Apo Butler on the girls' side that they had to play Canute, or they might have been there in a different area. Man, Cheyenne Raiden, the boys, really played well in the playoffs. They end up getting knocked out by Shattuck 48-41, but a really good job by them getting all the way to that consolation final, having a chance to be able to move on. Staying with the boys, Eric beat Hammond 41-37. So the Bearcats, Coach Newcomb, defeat his alma mater and knock them out. So Eric headed to the area tournament. Leedy is the lone regional champ on the boys' side of things as they knocked off Balco 53-33. So the Bison into the area final, one game away from the state tournament. You also had, on the girls' side, Leedy beat Balco easily to move into area after falling on Thursday. You mentioned Cheyenne losing, but they're still in area. And, of course, Hammond, the Lady Warriors, continue to roll through the playoffs. 57-31, they defeat Turner. So the Hammond Lady Warriors and the Leedy Bison, the two lone regional championship winners from the weekend. You mentioned Sentinel. Man, I would love to see what happened there. I looked up. They were down 6 in the fourth quarter to Southwest Covenant after my game was done. Mm-hmm. So there couldn't have been just a ton of time. If anybody was there, tell us how that happened. You know, because that's a place where we couldn't be, right? It wouldn't matter if we, yeah. You know, you couldn't. So that would have to have been an NFHS deal.
No, yeah, it is, yeah.
But they outscored them 9-0 to close.
Somebody told me that.
Or 9-1.
Yeah, and Southwest Covenant had two looks, I think, at three, pretty much at the end of the game to try to tie it and send the overtime. I mean, they had said wide open good
yeah,
looks.
But just, they'd already blown it.
Yeah.
That's how did
that
they
has
blow
to be deflating.
It?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is my question is how did that happen?
In a weird way, I never doubted Sentinel. I thought they can score points in a hurry. And I was following that game on Squirtle. So
yeah, I was too. And that's the thing about it, you never really know how much time.
Yeah, that's the problem with that.
But at the end of the day though, if I'm done, normally all these small school games are done. And for it to be 58-52 when I'm off the air and I'm looking, I'm thinking, this thing, did somebody just forget to hit final? Like, what happened? And then all of a sudden, I get a text, Sentinel won. I was like, no way. But they did. They were down 58-52 when I looked. It's fourth quarter. So they outscored them 9-1 down the stretch to come back and win that game. So a heck of a come. There has to be, that had to have been uber exciting to see the Bulldogs come back. Also, the Lady Bulldogs into the Class A girls area tournament as well, as they knocked out Navajo on Saturday. So, kind of some more local flair. On the district side of things, as we suspected, Merritt didn't have any trouble with Sayre in either game. 61-18 on the girls' side, 66-33 on the boys' side. So both Merritt teams move into the regional winners bracket game coming up, and they host that and then go, I think Fairview is their main site when that comes up on Friday or Saturday. So Oilerettes and the Oilers will play one more home game in the playoffs. And then the Elkettes of Elk City, man, played really, really well against Bishop McGinnis. Were able to defeat the Lady Irish 59-47. Abby Brown is absolutely one of the most fun players you could watch, man. When she gets going, and she did in a little spurt in the second quarter, and then right at the end of the third quarter hit back-to-back three. She ends up with game-high 22. Oh, here you go. I've got it. 9-0 run. Two steals in the last minute and a half. This is Sentinel coming back to beat Southwest Covenant. 9-0 run, two steals in the last minute and a half. Great play call by Snowden to get Wooten an and one inside with 20 seconds left. So that's the winner right there with 20 seconds left. Thank you to Mr. Cootie. I'm sure he was in attendance watching that one on Saturday night. So great stuff there. That's how Sentinel came back. Minute and a half.
It's awesome.
So I knew it had to be like when you see the score and knowing that I'm done, I knew it had to be down toward the end of that game. And it had to have been quick. So that's.
I'm glad as a Canute fan that was the result because I wanted nothing to do with Sentinel again.
Oh, yeah. That would have been the opponent, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, that's. But they're playing well. I'm anxious. I want them in the state tournament because I want to see them expand on what they did last year.
Yeah, made it a year ago. Got knocked out by Calumet in round one.
Yeah.
A game that was kind of back and forth there for a little bit. Both teams went on runs. I think Sentinel is absolutely state champion.
Yeah.
Contender. Absolutely legit. Especially with that Class A boys. We'll talk about what's coming up and kind of look at everything. Do you know, just off the top of your head, thinking about it, do you know which regionals, like if you think about B girls, B boys, A girls, A boys, you know which one had the least amount of top eight teams lose?
Is it the Leedy region?
No, I mean the whole thing. All eight regionals. Which classification and gender
You
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Had the least amount. Do you know off the top of your head?
I'll stay with B boys.
Nope.
Who was it?
Class B girls. Only Arnett fell.
Yeah,
the number 8, 10, and they lost to number 10 Frontier. With Fort Cobb and Earlsboro were Class B boys teams that lost. Wright City and Caddo were Class A girls teams that lost. And Stonewall and Rattan were Class A boys teams that lost. Did Caddo lose to Tushka or Empire?
I left my bracket downstairs. I could probably.
It's one of the two.
I'm sure it's updated. Empire.
Oh, guess who had Empire in the state tournament? Me.
Listen, man, you're going to get a lot of pat in the backs today. We already had one come in on the text line.
It's Southwest Covenant. Has a bunch of 6A athletes playing in Class A.
Yeah.
So watch out.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one. Let's see. What else? Elk City boys started out fine. Cooper Bradley, though, from Bishop McGinnis was awesome. I mean, it seemed like that dude, I think he missed one shot all night that I can remember. It was a right wing three. He had 23 and didn't play just a ton. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Empire's coach is J.C. Powers, formerly J.C. Heron. Graduated here from here.
Yeah.
Came from Allison. That's correct. That's part of the reason why I probably picked him, a little bit of that local flair. Anyhow. Big Elks lose 65-43, so moving on into the regional tournament. The Elkettes have, probably the hardest task in Oklahoma girls basketball, regardless of class. One of the top two or three with Bethany on their home floor. Second year in a row they've won district, and now you get that. So that'll be obviously be rough and an immensely tough game. And then we get
a well-rested Bethany.
Yeah, didn't have to play.
Yeah.
Because Clinton couldn't go. And speaking of Clinton, now we get round four of Big Elks Red Tornadoes. Clinton won the first one close here, 49-45. The Elks have blown them out twice since. And then, of course, Merritt and Sarah moving on. All right. That was what happened this week. Let's take a break. And let's talk about what's coming up in the consolation games in the area tournament, regionals for the bigger schools, and also the regional finals. Which one in each class, in each gender, are you looking forward to the most? We'll talk about that next. Skinny on Sports coming back on a Monday right here on the Sports Animal.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Monday. Recap it. Oh, excuse me. That came out of absolutely nowhere.
You good?
I'm not sure. Take over for a second.
Okay, take that drink of coffee. Good night. Man.
Okay, recapping the high school basketball playoff action from over the weekend. Goodness. The Class A and B regional tournaments, Class 2A and 4A. District tournaments were held and finished up. Okay, let's look forward to what's coming this week. So when you look at the results from the regionals, Arnett is the only team in Class B girls of the top eight that were ranked going into the playoffs that has lost. The top seven, all winners, and then Frontier number 10 is in there in an area final, instead of Arnett. Class B boys, two teams have lost. Number 3, Fort Cobb Broxton lost to Granite in that regional final, and also number 8, Earlsboro has lost. They were taken down by Varnum, number 10. Class A girls, there's been two teams lose, and crazily enough, it's in the same area. Hmm. So Tushka, number 14, beat number 6, Wright City, and then number 13, Empire, beat number 2, Caddo. So that means you're going to have either number 14 Tushka or number 13 Empire in the state tournament. And either number 6 Wright City or number 2 Caddo not in the state tournament. And then in Class A boys, you had number 6 Stonewall go down. They actually went down in the first round of the regionals. And then Rattan, number 2, goes down in the regional final. Number 12 Wright City is there instead of one of those. And then, what is it about Class A boys? Was it Tushka a couple of years ago that won the state championship as an unranked team? Only the third time that had ever happened in the history of Oklahoma high school basketball.
Yeah, they went on that incredible run. Yeah.
That's right. Tushka, yeah, that was that day where you had three games that came down to the last shot.
Yeah.
On state championship Saturday, and then the final one was an unranked team in Tushka beating Garber like 5. That scenario is in play again. Unranked Riverfield Country Day will play number 1 OK in an area final. That's crazy.
That is cool.
Something that, I mean, now obviously they're a long ways away from winning the state tournament. But just to be in an area final as an unranked team.
Well, just keep an eye on it.
Absolutely.
They're clearly a hot team right now.
Yeah, so that's, I seem to remember them maybe being in the state tournament last year.
I remember.
Or the year before.
Some, yeah,
they've been around.
I had to look them up, like, where is this place? It's in Tulsa. And in fact, I just found out last summer my cousin has his kids in that school.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, where is this place?
Yeah, so that's a possibility once again, and it's Class A boys again, like it was a couple of years ago. All right, let's start in Class B girls. This has the most anticipated matchups because of only Arnett falling in the regional round. So, in your mind, which of these games are you most looking forward to as far as the area finals?
Well, because in B girls,
yes,
because it's kind of local. Mountain View and La Kiva Sickles in the area, was that 4 final on Friday? I mean, in a perfect world for our interest, we'd like both of them to get in the state tournament. They got a great shot at it. But that one, that's just cool because I think might be some familiarity there. I don't know their record or their schedules if they've played each other, but there's always that chance that
they have.
Let me guess, Mountain View?
Well, Mountain View hasn't lost, so the answer is yes.
Oh, they're undefeated?
Yeah, they're undefeated.
Oh, my apologies.
That's all right. 41-34 in the Caddo County tournament.
Yeah, so that one there, just to see what happens. And then, you know, you got yourself a rematch. And the playoffs are tricky. They're different. So Lakeva Sickles could give him a run there. So that one, for me anyways, stands out.
Mountain View's record, or their schedule, they've beaten Geronimo, who will play Hammond in an area final. They've beaten Cyril twice. Actually, they've beaten Lakeva Sickles twice. I'm sorry. It's right down here, too. 41-34 and 43-40. So they've been close games in each of those wins. It's hard to pick one out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hammond Geronimo, the defending champ against a team that kind of has flown from off the radar on it this year. And then number one Dover, speaking of off the radar, there was that stat earlier in the year, how long it had been since they've been ranked. Now they've been number one all year long against a team that is as seasoned as anybody in the tournament with Pittsburgh. Champions a couple of years ago. What, they lost in the semifinals a year ago to Omega. So that's a I might pick that one. I might pick Dover and Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's number one and number seven, the others are kind of closer matched as far as the rankings. But Pittsburgh won't be intimidated at any point, and they're not going to be afraid of the moment either because of their success the last few years. I might go with that one. Let's look down in Class B, boys. Choices Duke, Varnum, Calumet, Kenta, Granite, Wilson, Henrietta, and then Frontier and Leedy.
What are you thinking?
Frontier Leedy. Number four versus number five. Frontier is kind of that name that everybody knows about.
Right.
Because they've had success. They've got the camp. You know what I mean? Like, Frontier is kind of basketball. Small school basketball in Oklahoma has been for years and years.
Yeah.
They've kind of been a Class A school for a lot of the recent times. And now down in Class B, and of course, Leedy, you look on any of those I was at the game, even had some playoff wins over the last decade.
Yes.
You know, they're up toward the top in the state, regardless of class. As a Class B boys team, they've had mucho success. But they also got to this point last year and didn't make it to the state tournament with a couple of losses, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually watched that game against Goodwill in the consolation finals on Saturday. And so, you know, that for a team that's had that much success, I think they're kind of hungry still, too, because of what happened last year. Not wanting to let those two losses in a row repeat themselves and avoid getting knocked out before the state tournament.
Right, yeah. And I know we picked the girls, but that Frontier-Lamega girls area final looks kind of intriguing, too. Yeah, I agree with you there. That one, I think Duke and Varnum should have no problem with – or Duke shouldn't have any problem with Varnum. Maybe. I don't know. And how about Granite and Wilson? Granite, we talk about hot teams. Maybe they're that hot team we're not talking about with their win over Fort Cobb. That got people's attention. I mean, it's one thing beating Hammond, which, you know, we respect that because we thought Hammond was going to be the better team in that one, and they beat him in their home gym. Then they turn around and beat Fort Cobb, who is that perennial state tournament qualifier.
Yeah, they're the number one on that list I talked about,
yeah,
as far as playoff wins,
right,
in boys basketball.
Yeah,
yeah, they are the standard.
And where's Wilson? Is it Henrietta? Is mm-hmm. that so? Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Is can Granite keep it going and get to the state tournament?
Yeah, they were. It's funny to now that you know the results and where everybody stands going into area, thinking back to that Thursday night up in Hammond. You know, the Warriors jumped out like 18-9, I think, was the largest lead at one point. But Granite didn't panic, and they stayed the course. And, you know, a tight game going into the fourth quarter. And then they had a guy make – I think he scored like seven in a row, hit a three and a couple of twos, and Hammond couldn't match. They matched for a lot of that game, but they're in the fourth quarter, they couldn't do it. And so, you know, that was one of those – great point. Live by the three, died by the three.
Exactly.
But they've got some dudes that can absolutely fill it up from behind the arc. There's no doubt about that. So I like that one too. Class A girls.
You go first. I got a lot of tabs open here. It has to be ceiling, right?
I heard about this.
What's that?
Text on the text line. Have you guys ever seen 4-3 the whole game? That's what Granite did. They basically put 2 on Rodgers, and Rodgers just stood at the half line the whole game. And Fort Cobb played 4-3.
Wow.
They ran the diamond, like a diamond in 2.
Yeah.
With both guys on 1. I kind of heard about this on Saturday night. No, I have not seen. I mean, but I'll be honest with you. From what I've seen from Fort Cobb, it makes 1,000,000,000% sense. Because that's always going to be the problem for the Mustangs this year. Mm-hmm. Is it's kind of Cray Rogers, and can anybody help him? So you take him, it's brilliant by Granite in my mind, to take him completely out of the game.
Yep.
And I'm sure that Coach Hines will be thinking about that and figuring something else out, because it's one thing to do that in the regional finals, but he's not going to go down swinging without Rogers being a part of the game.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen. But yeah, I'd heard that had taken place where a lot of times you play 3 in the paint, kind of a zone, and then, but you know, one guy guards one guy and the other guy guards the other guy. So it's kind of 3-on-3, and then you're face guarding. Instead, it was 2 guys on 1. That's a very, very interesting strategy by Coach Baumhoff. Cole Baumhoff looks like a really young guy there on the sidelines for Granite.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. I guess maybe because being at Granite, I don't know how long he's been there. But clearly, the guy got something going here. Girls, Class A girls, maybe Tushkin Empire. We'll have my interest on that one. And of course, the one I'm in is over in Chickasha, Surreal and Allen. Allen, they put up a lot of points against, who was that they just destroyed? Union City, 83-39. And then got a fight from Marcomas, a team obviously I've seen, and won that one by 8. And Surreal hasn't really had a problem with anybody. But, that one. But I think my answer for that is going to be the Tushkin Empire. You know, Empire right there. They were in the area tournament last year. I can't remember if they lost on the Thursday or Friday.
Lost Canute, didn't they?
Yeah, I just can't remember what day it was. So are they taking that next step? Here they are, 1 win away. And maybe the local interest there too. Be cool to see her get him in there. So that would be my final answer. How about you, Class A girls?
I was looking to see if Quentin and Red Oak had played. They have not.
I just don't know anything about those teams, you know? That's the problem. I got a little familiarity there with Empire, what I just said, and, of course, Surreal and Allen, so kind of a close tie for both of those games for me.
Quentin has beaten a bunch of ranked teams.
And then there's Ceiling. And
yeah, well, I'm
sorry about your luck, Oklahoma Bible, but it's Ceiling.
Ceiling is only interesting if they lose.
Yeah, which they do not.
Otherwise, you just, okay, yeah, Ceiling's whipping somebody.
Interesting area, though, that one. Garber, Moreland, Okarchi, and Texoma.
Listen, Okarchi was, they're obviously Okarchi, and that name rings bells in class whatever, A or B, depending on kind of where they kind of fall back and forth a lot, too, on the girls' side especially. Mm-hmm. And then with all the controversy that happened at the start of the season, Haley Mitchell resigning that post, they took a big dip. But then all of a sudden, you looked up. I followed on Squirtle Thursday, Okarchi and Oklahoma Bible, and Okarchi was there. They led most of that game. And so maybe you see kind of the pedigree of a team like Okarchi, when all those girls know is success, whether it's them or, the older ones above them. And, maybe that's kind of coming out in a way in the playoffs that it wasn't able to do. And time has been – there's been some time in between the turmoil early, and now they got things kind of squared away, I guess. But, yeah, that is – I mean, you'd assume Oklahoma Bible is looking at – I mean, they're not, but I am. Okay, yeah, who's
coming? Gonna play on
who's
Saturday?
Coming back to play them on Saturday?
Right, and it very well could be Okarchi. Just looking at these results, just recent results, I think that they have
Okarchi
a great
or
shot.
Garber would be my guess.
Yeah, who did? But Oklahoma Bible destroyed Garber.
Yeah, they whipped them,
and so it gives me pause. And then there's no shame in losing to Sealing Texoma, 89-44. But when you're going up against Okarchi with everything you just said, I'll take Okarchi in that game, and then I think it will be Okarchi and Garber. And Okarchi would, I think, love to have another crack at Oklahoma Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oklahoma so again, Bible. That whole area right there looks really fun, up in Woodward.
That's weird to say, Class A in Woodward, and not Class B.
Yeah.
You know, I think in my mind I've got Leedy playing Frontier in Woodward, but it's not. It's in Enid.
All right. Yeah, I mean, when teams like Garber and, well, yeah, Garber's right there near Enid. I think they'd love to have that back in Enid. Which usually the route they go to is Enid all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Arapaho's been up there a bunch of times. Seems like they're always the north team.
Yeah.
It's hard not to take Tushka and Empire just because of the Cinderella nature of both of those as far as the rankings go. And then Class A boys, this one's easy for me. It's Sentinel.
Yeah, we talked about them earlier.
It's them and their quest to get back, this time in Class A. And in a weird way, I think this is a good year for them for this to happen. I don't know if there's anybody in Class A boys that are as good as Calumet is in Class B. That makes sense?
No, totally.
So maybe this was a good year for Sentinel to be kind of bumped up into A, because to me, B girls and A boys are the two that are kind of up in the air. I mean, I think in Class B girls, there's five or six teams that might be able to win the state championship. I think that's that same way in Class A boys. And then you had the two big-time favorites in the others with Calumet and Sealing. So it's Sentinel for me, the local tie to it. And getting back like they were there in Class B last year, getting back to the state tournament, can they build on that? Because, you know, sometimes you see these teams that aren't necessarily the, you know, the Lomegas or the Fort Cobbs or, what you know, the mainstays and the staples that are up there. Sometimes you see some of these other teams that have a good run, and it's kind of you walk up the ladder just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so making it to the state tournament a year ago, now having a chance to absolutely be in the mix to win a Class A state title at the Sealing, or I'm sorry, Sentinel is definitely it for me.
Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna really watch the Cinderella story, Riverfield versus OK, and see if that can continue. And then just even if they can't win against OK, can they beat whoever they have to play on Saturday and advance in? They would be the state's darling, right? Everyone would. Attached to the, that's what people do. So that's what I'm doing here. I'm looking at this underdog story of Riverfield. Yeah, Sentinel totally has my attention. But you're giving me what I'd probably have my eye on that one, the Riverfield OK game first, because I think Sentinel's going to be OK.
Yeah,
in their game.
They.
I've seen Drummond. I've seen him. I've seen Sentinel. Sentinel's a better team.
You know, that's a good point, Mr. Cootie. OK. You know, when we started this year, heck, when we left there last year, the last game of the day was Class A boys. And you looked at the rosters for both OK and Caddo, and a bunch of those guys were coming back. And I think we even talked about it in the post game, like, we might be sitting here 366 days from now with this exact same matchup. And those two teams have taken some lumps because they played a lot different schedule than maybe they're used to. OK in the Tournament of Champions, Caddo went to Mustang and played in that one, and it didn't go well for either. But let's look here. Let's see how their records are against Class A schools. OK 11-0. Caddo 8-2. So they have suffered some losses. to some teams they might play. Rattan is one of them. And Sealing, where there are two Class A losses for the defending champ, Caddo. And you know what? Maybe the best game of the entire night on Friday, we haven't even mentioned yet. Okarchi and Sealing.
Boys? Uh-huh. Yeah. Have they played each other?
Doesn't look like it.
I don't think so. Yeah, Sealing started off like, 5-5 or something like that? They just win one, lose one, win one, lose one. But here they are again, fighting for a state tournament berth. And Okarchi's been pretty good too.
Yeah, 5-5. Or actually 4-5.
4-5, yeah.
At one point.
Almost to the point like, well, am I writing them off or is it because of their scheduling was so tough?
Yeah, and also,
you know, I wasn't sure.
Football, I mean.
Yeah, they were just coming. Yeah, I think, didn't Hammond beat him like off the bat? No. Who
Leedy
beat,
did.
Leedy did, yeah.
Yeah, Leedy beat him.
Which is done. I mean,
game two, 49-41.
Yeah. But now they've figured it out. Now they've settled in, clearly. That's a good one.
Yeah, they're one of the team. The one team to beat Duke. Was Sealing over the Bi-County. Just trying to think. I had a question in my mind, and it totally slipped. I have no idea what I was going to ask you.
I probably didn't have an intelligent answer anyways.
You said that, not me. Oh, I know what it was. Of the teams that lost, those top eight teams that lost, which one do you think has the best chance of coming back through and getting into the state tournament?
Tell me who they are again.
Arnett Girls, Fort Cobb and Earlsboro Boys, Wright City and Caddo Girls, Stonewall and Rattan Boys.
Well, because I picked them, I'm going to have to say Arnett. But seriously, I think they got to go through Leedy, and Leedy had their number the last time. So, what is this, like the fifth time they played this season?
Oh, gosh, they play right now? They do, don't they? That's right.
Yeah, they play Thursday, yeah.
Oh, my. It's fourth at least.
It's crazy. And Leedy got them for that.
Yeah, it's 2-1 in favor of Arnett.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about them playing. That's right, because they were in different regionals. Leedy came through the backside, and Arnett lost.
Yeah, good one on the text line, Fort Cobb. But my final answer will be Arnett. And the Fort Cobb thing is everything we've talked about, even going into these before these playoffs, of how to defend them. Did Granite totally expose that?
I don't think they're good enough. I don't know. Rodgers is unbelievable.
It's like the Mahomes thing for me. I'm not going to bet against them to not make the state tournament. They always are there. Even with quote-unquote mediocre teams, Hines finds a way to get them in there. So it's hard for me to go against them sometimes.
Rodgers is incredible.
Yes, he is.
But he is going to have somebody else make a shot.
Yeah.
At some point. I can't say that, but gosh. I mean, you just look at the rankings, you would pick either Caddo Girls or Rattan Boys. Both of those are number two.
Yeah.
Caddo Girls played in the finals. I'm going to go with them. They played in the finals. I know they lost Emily Robinson. I think, where did she go? Tulsa? University of? I think that's where she went. She was incredible against Sealing, even in the finals. They still got the McKay girl that's going to play softball at OU. I think she's a senior this year. I'll go with Caddo. They've been there. They're number two.
Yeah.
ORU,
that's
right.
That's a good one.
See, I was thinking Tulsa didn't sound right. It was ORU for Emily Robinson. Okay, I'll go with Caddo girls. Anything else from high school hoops?
You talk about being weird. It's an area tournament and not one Arapaho team's in it. That's and off, but it won't last long. Arapahoe girls, they started they start all season long. They started five juniors, and they get they don't have one senior on this team. Look out for Coach Holt and that team next year.
Another team that's not here that I can guarantee you in my mind that's going to be here next year is the Hammond Warriors.
Ah, yeah.
Three freshmen, two juniors in the starting lineup. They got everybody back. Hammond will be one of those, in my mind, teams to watch on the boys' side next year, that youth getting a year older. Obviously, all these teams want to win this year, but I think it's vitally important for some of these younger ones to go as far, each game is just a new experience. Mm-hmm. Cheyenne Raiden is that way in the girls' side. You're not discounting their chances right now, but man, with four freshmen in the starting lineup, that's huge. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's just each game of experience that they can have just gets them in that situation, and they know kind of how to feel for next year because they've been able to be there and have a chance at it, not only coming up into the area tournament, but also playing in the regional finals. I think that matters. Not losing to Navajo on Thursday and then coming back through, mm-hmm. winning that game and then playing in the regional final. You kind of get yourself acclimated to how your body works in those situations. And those young teams, mm-hmm. it's huge. That's why, let's be honest, the Elkettes have a very slim to maybe no chance to win on Thursday just because the opponent is so good. Then the matchup is awful. But coming back, being able to win those next two and get themselves into area the final in that next week with the youth that's on that team, those things matter in building. Maybe this isn't the year, but could next year be one of those to where you try to break that now 28-year streak of not making the state tournament for the Elk City Elkettes? That's crazy. I still can't believe that stat is true, but it is. Mm. Growing up when I grew up,
it was a fixation.
It was a guarantee. The question wasn't, are the Elkettes going to make the state tournament? The question was, are they going to win it?
Right.
There was no doubt they were going to be there. Then it was, okay, can we win it? And to think that they haven't even been there since 96 is just nuts to me. But it's the truth.
Yep. Hey, I found a good dive that I ate at Union City.
Oh, really?
And I use that term eloquently because diners, drive-ins, and dives. I'll tell you about it later. It's pretty good.
Well, we'll hear about it next.
Okay.
How in the world did you bury the lead here, Jared? We should have already had this conversation. We'll be back, maybe some college hoops as well. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Thank you for joining us on a Monday, recapping the high school basketball playoffs from this weekend. Class A and B now move into the area round, 2A and 4A, up into the regional round. So we'll have – did you know this, Jared? Let me look this up. Mm. It makes sense because I think 5A and 6A get going this week as well. I saw the stat. Do you have any idea – how many games will be played on Thursday?
Oh, man.
Across the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's the most games this year in one day. It's like.
It is.
Yeah, it, no, I don't. I saw it. I just can't remember. What is it?
246.
I knew there was a 2 and 4 in there. Yeah.
Thursday is the biggest day of the playoffs as far as numbers of games. 246. In A and B, all 40 top 10 teams still alive.
Yeah. Fun day. That's a day. That's going to be a day.
Yeah, what's crazy, I mean, it's got the most most games, I get it, but the biggest day is Friday. You know, area finals.
Well, sure.
Friday's the day. Like, last Thursday is a most important day in my mind. Friday, this coming Friday in A and B is like the, kind of starts to be the cherry on top day.
Yeah.
Like, all right, here we are. This is what we talked about. It's what we created a contest for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And now here we go. We've got somebody and 16 somebodies punching their tickets into the state tournament. Big house, here we come officially. It's a fun day.
Yeah.
Friday's a fun night. All right, Jared. Enough basketball, enough sports. What is this restaurant you found on Saturday in Union City?
Well, I'll give credit to our man Jeremy. He found it on Friday, and told me about it. So Saturday, me and my daughter went. We had to go early because we were over in Clinton, and we didn't do the whole back and forth. So we went early, and I like to go to places early and set up and all that stuff and not be rushed. And so we got there about 11, so I thought, hey, let's get an early lunch. And we went to this place. I've driven by it countless times going to Chickasha and coming back, going through Union City. It's called Dairy Mart. It looks like a dive, which is a good thing.
It almost looks like an old Sonic.
It does.
From way back in the day.
It looks like, yeah. And I even questioned, when I pulled up, I thought to myself, do I have to get the food to eat in my car, or do I need to, or is there a place to sit inside? And there is. I mean, you go in, there's nothing on the walls. It looks like something stuck out of the 50s. And ordered the food, and they didn't have onion burger on the menu, but they had hamburger. And I said, well, could you just grill my onions? And yeah, no problem. Make an onion burger? Yeah, no problem. So they made that for me. My daughter got a cheeseburger, and we got an order of onion rings, and it was great. It was really, really good. I love finding those places like that.
Was there broasted chicken on the menu?
I don't recall. I don't. You know, they have that big menu.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in, you just go up and order, and they bring you the food. Now, my back was set into it when they sat down. But they had, hot dogs and, of course, burgers. And I mentioned the onion rings were great and tater tots, all this stuff, you know. And we beat the rush because once we got our food, then a bunch of locals came in and were picking up food that they'd called in. But it was really good. It was really good. I like finding those places. It's something we need to put a pin in and remember next time we have to go through down to Chickasha.
Yeah.
But there's a good place in Chickasha, too, and I'm looking forward to hitting up that spot. What's cool about this is, taking my daughter, who's old enough, who can go with me, and she helps me carry bags in and stuff, and then she goes and sits in the student section and all that stuff. But she is now like figuring out, we eat pretty good when I go with Dad. I get to eat pretty good, so I get to show her, hey, this is a good spot. Let's go over here, you know, not just McDonald's every time. You know, we go find. And that's kind of been our rule when we go to away football games.
Heck,
we go find the mom and pop places. You know, kind of like a. Like Guy Fieri does, and we'll find those places or those famous places that, you go to this town, you eat here. And I found that place in Union City. It was good.
Yeah, my goal when we go on football trips is do not eat somewhere we can eat here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've made exception to the fast food stuff when we go to, like, Whataburger, because that's good.
We don't have Whataburger here.
We don't have Whataburger. You're right. We like Whataburger.
If there's a Chick-fil-A around, we might hit that, too.
Absolutely.
Because we don't have one here.
Yep.
Yeah, but for the most part, it's much more fun to find those little places like that.
Do we have a Chick-fil-A here, or don't we? We got
no,
the food
we
truck.
Don't. You can't go there. You might be able to go. I shouldn't say you can't go today, because you might be able to go today. But you can't go every day of the week.
Right. Can't go whenever you want.
That dadgum Altus.
Yeah, they got a Chick-fil-A.
They're right next to each other.
Yeah.
Whataburger and Chick-fil-A.
I was down and out the last time I was down there.
Man.
And I was with my daughter, and we're leaving. She's playing some basketball. We're leaving. So let's go Chick-fil-A. They got a Chick-fil-A just opened. Went in there. Man, they're dang near out of food because it's so popular
and
new.
Yeah, like, when
it
first,
we don't have that. We don't have that. Yeah. We don't have that.
When it first opens, I'm sure that it would just be an absolute mad dash.
Yeah. Alex figured it out. They got the college like right there,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed they're all college kids are working this Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But only the ones with good grades.
Yeah. But this place in Union City was good. It's called Dairy Mart. If you're not looking for it, you're going to drive right by it. We've driven right by it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's caught my attention a couple of times. Look at it. Like,
well, you never know. Honestly, it's been there a while. You can tell that.
Yeah.
And I'm never quite sure if it's open.
Yeah, I was worried about that, too, when I pulled up, because there's nobody there.
I wonder if it's like a 6-to-2 type joint like Chuck's used to be.
I don't know.
A breakfast, a lunch, and be done.
But I walked right in, ordered my food, and was very satisfied. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, you know where I can go this week.
The best part of this time of year is finding these places to eat.
You know where I can go.
You're heading to
Bethany.
You can go to that pizza joint.
Papa Angelo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I promise you if things go the way they might on Friday, I've eaten at Ski Boy at Fort Cobb and it's delicious. You got to know where you're going to find it, but it's good. I will 100% agree with that. But if I've got a 1 o'clock and a 7:30 on Friday,
oh, you're gonna
I may just post up in Papa Angelo's.
Yeah.
See if they got any Wi-Fi.
I wanna
do some work.
Yeah. I want to go back and enjoy Papa Angelo's when I not have a nervous stomach. Because we went before
Cushing game.
The Cushing game.
That's right.
And my stomach was a wreck. Because I was so nervous, you know, excited and nervous. The anxiety was high. So I just woofed it down. I was like, all right, we got to go. Let's go.
One thing we didn't get to experience. We had more time than we thought, but was one of those. All right, let's get back to the stadium.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
That was a good pizza. That was good.
It was. All right. We're going to have Coach Newcomb from Eric on one of the next couple of days.
Cool.
You know, you've got a couple of coaches you could probably talk to pretty easily.
Yeah.
We'll start getting
I'll reach out.
We'll start getting those folks on here for the next couple of days leading up into the area tournament for A and B for sure. As he just said, you bet, we'll do that. So we'll set up a time with him. It could be tomorrow morning. You never know. But here over the next couple of days, we'll talk to the coaches for a lot of these teams that are headed on in the Paragon Network to the area tournament in Class A and Class B.
Right, next week, this time, we'll be previewing state tournaments. We'll know. Crazy to think.
It really is.
It's a mad dash to get to the state tournament, then it's just over.
All right, real quick. Maybe not a total Final Four, but if I said, Jared, give me a team. Give me your favorite to win the national title right now in college basketball. Who would you say?
Well, I would have told you Purdue, but they lost. I'll still say Purdue. I'll go with Purdue. Yeah, they lost to Ohio State yesterday, but I think that just because of the big unknown of rosters in college basketball, to me anyways, because of the fluid of the transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff, but Edie and that team just seems like they've probably been playing together longer than most, so I'll lean on Purdue. How about you?
Mark for Duke's got who I've got, I think. I've got it down to two. And I might be biased by what I saw on Saturday for one of these teams, and maybe even for both, the way they played on Saturday. UConn looks good.
They do.
Again.
They do.
And another team that looked incredible on Saturday was none other than Kelvin Sampson's Houston Cougars.
Yep.
If I had to pick one, I would pick UConn again, back-to-back.
Yep.
Give me a team that's
The way they beat Marquette was impressive.
Oh, they killed them.
Yeah.
Absolutely killed them.
And Marquette could be a Final Four team.
They were number four in the country and got beat 30.
Yeah.
Who's a team that's kind of off the radar right now that you think can make a run?
I think trending up is Virginia.
Okay.
They took a big leap in last week's poll. I haven't seen this week's yet. I don't think it's out yet. And I'm never counting out Coach Cal and Kentucky.
That's who I've got. I hate to say it. I was giving Coach Hunt all kinds of grief on Saturday before our games, how bad Auburn was going to beat them at Auburn. Kentucky been kind of floundering a little bit. I have a stat, though, when we get to it, that I saw on Twitter from some Kentucky people when the Cats were going the last couple of weeks losing these games. I have an incredible, incredible stats. You want them? You want me to give them to you?
Sure.
I screenshotted the tweets to make sure that I would have these. I think I did. All right, let me see. How far back do I need to go? Oh, man, did I not?
No luck?
Oh, no. I could have swore I screenshotted those. Yeah, here it is. Kentucky has had 27 opportunities to tie or win a game. This happened after the Louisville game, where they were. So 27 opportunities to tie or win the game since 2020 at the end. They've made exactly one shot to tie or win a game since 2020 in 27 tries.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're 1 for 26 or
That's exactly right.
Wow. So if you're taking Kentucky down the wire, your chances are pretty good.
That has been the case.
Ooh, was this a tweet followed by fire Coach Cal?
Well,
Are the home fans there getting restless?
Yes, to the point where I've been looking at some of this stuff. You know who a lot of them want?
Nah, who's that?
Instead of Cal?
Oh, no. Is it? Who is it?
You take a guess.
Familiar
to this area for sure.
Not Mosier.
Nope. No.
Not Boynton.
No.
Samson?
Nope.
Who?
Scott Drew.
Oh, well, that'd actually be a really good fit, I think.
Scott Drew. I've got some – I'm pretty sure this guy also tweeted how the other team had done in those situations. And it was not good news for Kentucky on that end either.
Mm. I thought you were going to say Rick Pitino.
Oh, no. Oh, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be kind of funny?
Tino's upset. His team is unbearable, he said this weekend, as they lost St. John's 8 of 10. We'll talk more college basketball. Get some coaches lined up as well. We'll talk the high school hoops. Everybody have a great Monday. Enjoy the warm weather. It's going to be awesome the next couple of days. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.